30 to 40 degree range. That is rare this time of year. Let's see what happened that was positive. Oh, most of the snow melted off my roof, which is good. So I don't have to shovel it. That's a wonderful thing. There's always something that we can find to give thanks to God for. Amen. In everything? Does it say for everything or in everything? In everything, give thanks. I'm thankful for all that God has done. I was listening to some of the prayer music, which I keep thinking to myself, I need to add a few new songs in there every once in a while with my wife being out. That doesn't happen so often. But there's some songs in there, and one of them this morning just really, really spoke to me about Him being faithful. He is faithful to us. He does not let us down. He does not let us down. God is so, so faithful. And if we could just grasp a little bit of that in our life and bring that and make that an aspect of our lives, to be faithful in all things. Amen. That's not the lesson. That was free this morning. Today, we're doing lesson two, Miracle of the Call. And our focus verse is 2 Peter 1:10. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Hallelujah. You want assurance about not falling? Make your calling and election sure. Amen. Today, our focus thought is God's call should lead to a lifetime of faithful service in His kingdom. God's call should lead to a week here or there, or a moment in time here or there, or maybe in my later years, or maybe just while I'm young and have the energy. No, God's call should lead to a lifetime of faithful service in His kingdom. So thankful for those that have gone before, that have led the way and have shown that it is possible to give an entire life to your calling. So thankful for the examples that have been in my life. Growing up under Brother and Sister Min in Nova Scotia, I never had any idea or ever heard anything about them before Christ. All I ever heard about them was their ministry and their evangelism and traveling and opening up new areas of ministry and planting churches all throughout New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, Canada. And that's all I ever heard about them. And even to this day, when we go back home and visit family, Brother Min is still actively ministering. He's in his upper 80s, actively ministering, and can play better volleyball than I'll ever be able to play. Amen. Praise God. God has blessed him with amazing agility and strength in his 80s. Praise God. But he's ministering. He has given his entire life to ministry. Praise God. I'm thankful for those examples. Amen. And there are plenty right here in Alaska. Amen. And if I get into that, I'll never get to the rest of the lesson. Praise God. I'm so thankful. In our cultural connection, finding purpose. Everyone needs purpose, a feeling of destiny, a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Mine today was church. Praise God. I was excited about coming to church. There's an excitement, and I'm not a morning person. No amens out there, but If you know me, you know I am not a morning person. But Sunday morning, there's just something about springing out of bed and getting ready. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited about coming to the house of the Lord. So that was my purpose this morning. Purpose is the passion that drives us to accomplish everyday tasks and sometimes extraordinary feats. People with a sense of purpose are more likely to compete in the Olympics or create innovation in industry or become noted political leaders or evangelize entire regions. Right? They tend to be driven and focused by a compulsion to accomplish their goals. Amen. I'm thankful for driven people, people that have purpose. God, help me to be driven and to have purpose. Not everyone is born with a clearly defined sense of destiny. Purpose or a calling is more likely to be discovered along the journey of life. Wherever God calls us, we will surely find purpose. Wherever God calls us. We get a lot of things pulling at us from different directions. Our careers, our friends, our family, pulling us, calling us towards certain things. We will not always find our purpose in those things in life. It's not always going to happen. But wherever God calls you, you will find purpose. You will find purpose. Currently, there seems to be less talk and teaching about the call of God on individual lives than in previous generations, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. I do know that we are very purpose-driven, and there's been many, many books written on being purpose-driven, and in the secular world, they are starting out with career counselors in junior high. What do you want to be? I don't know. I'm 12, right? I have no idea. I want to eat lots of junk food and see pretty girls. I don't know what I want to be in life, but they're already kind of leading in that direction so that when they get to their what they're calling their high school career now, that they can take the courses needed to get to the university or the college that they want to go to that finishes out their purpose and their plan and so that they can have the career that they chose when they were 12. I still don't know sometimes what I want to be when I grow up. Which is coming. It's slowly happening. I'm slowly growing up. But it's taking a long time. God's really, really, I feel like when I grow up, I'm going to be a masterpiece. God is really taking a long time with me today. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful for it. Amen. So, where was I? So, what was once considered a prerequisite for pursuing a vocational ministry has now just become optional, even neglected, as people select ministry in the same way they might choose some other vocation. What do you want to be? Doctor, a mechanic, or a preacher? What do you want to be? Well, let's see. Being a preacher, you only work 2 days a week. And you have to smile, kiss babies, shake hands. Don't get those mixed up. Amen. Don't shake babies and kiss hands. Amen. But I don't know what I want to be. I want to choose something, and it's just ingrained in us. We need to choose a path and we need to go down that path. And we forget about the importance of God's calling. God's calling. Not just our personal choices, but God's calling. There was a time when those who entered the ministry would not presume to declare themselves a preacher without first experiencing a divine call as a directive of the Holy Spirit. The calling of God to a preaching ministry should still be considered a sacred event. Amen. Several Old Testament prophets confessed this compulsion of the Spirit that drew them to fulfill the purpose of God in their ministry. Jeremiah felt the call from his youth and declared that his calling came while he was still in his mother's womb. That's a pretty early calling. I don't think I can remember anything under the age of 3.5 or 4. I remember sitting on the curb when we first moved to Nova Scotia. I was about that age. I remember the little neighbor boy that I met as a friend, my first friend in Nova Scotia. Could tell you his name today, but I remember that moment. But he remembered his calling from his mother's womb. This experience of the calling of God was so intrinsic in Jeremiah's life that it drove him to speak the words God gave him in spite of his determination not to speak to a rebellious nation of Israel anymore. I'm not going to speak to them anymore. But there was something in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 20:9. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I can't hold it in. These people don't deserve to hear what you're saying, God. But it's like fire shut up in my bones. I cannot keep it quiet. I cannot keep my mouth closed. I must speak what you're telling me to speak. That is the calling of God. The calling of God. Today we're going to talk about Samuel. I think we all have a general understanding of the story. We'll get into some of it. There are outstanding stories of Scripture that give insight to the passion of men and women in history who devoted themselves to God and committed their lives and their families to His service. And we talked about ones today who fit that category, who have given their lives. In Scripture, Hannah, who was found at the tabernacle, travailing in prayer and agonizing over the dilemma of her barrenness. We see Eli comes in and notices her there. His first reaction, she's drunk. Later, after God thumped him, said, there's something a little bit more to this. And so realized the situation. And in 1 Samuel 1:17, he says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah at that point had received a word as a promise of God's answer, and she left the tabernacle with hope of receiving that miracle. She had been travailing. What was Hannah travailing for? A child. God, give me a child. Give me a child. To the point where she was not even legible and understandable in her prayer. God, give me a child. Desperation. Desperation. She vowed that her son, that when her son was born, she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord. God, you have blessed me with this. You have blessed me with a child. And in return, I will return my child to be in service to you. Service to you. When the miracle happened and the child was born, she named him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. In Hebrew, the name Samuel means name of God, or asked of God, or heard of God. And I had no doubt that the birth of her son was a direct answer to her prayer and a miracle in response to her petition. Every time she called his name, it reminded her of who Samuel was. He was given by God. He was an answer to prayer. Every time she named her miracle, called her miracle, she knew that this was from God. It was an answer to God's miraculous answer to her request. Samuel grew up. Once he was weaned from his mother, he grew up in service. He grew up in service to the Lord. So just as the Lord kept his promise to Hannah in giving her a son, Hannah kept her promise in to the Lord by giving Samuel to serve Eli at the tabernacle. This act of selfless sacrifice is a testament of the depth of sincerity in the vow Hannah made. How many times have we said that we were going to do something and we didn't quite do something? Well, they'll understand. And most of the time they do, right? There are things that we say we're going to do. We even will say the word, "I promise to do that." None of our children have ever done that, I'm sure. I promise by the time you get home, the dishes will be put away. Why are there still dishes in the sink? Oh, I totally blanked that out. Right? So there's things that we promise to do, but this was not the case. There was sincerity in Hannah's vow. She did not give him up bitterly or begrudgingly. Even though it would be a sacrifice, it would be very tough to do, to hand over your son in service to the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn," or my strength, "is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Wow. We need to have that approach when we make promises and commitments to the Lord. Amen. Come rejoicing. This is not, we call it a sacrifice of praise, but I don't want my praise to feel like I'm being thrown on an altar, right? Fire coming down and consuming me. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun at all. I want to come and bring my praise with joy and rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hannah found joy and completion in the Lord as she turned from the bitterness of her barrenness and began to live for God's purpose. Before she went to the tabernacle and was praying like that, she had spent time praying. Her purpose was very internal. It was very much an internal struggle. I want a child. I want a child. And her bitterness and her barrenness was turned completely into joy and completion, and the sacrifice that or the promise that she made, she ended up being able to do with such great joy. Such great joy. I rejoice, even in a tough situation. I rejoice. Hannah found fulfillment as she honored her vow by giving her son to God. When we find purpose in God, we find fulfillment in our life. A lot of times, and you see this more and more today, I remember when I was very young, I know I don't look that old, but I am older than I look. People had careers for their entire working age. You know, work 40 years for a company. My grandpa and my uncles, they all worked for the same company for a very long time. Once they found that good job, they worked it through retirement. And that is not the case today. It's actually encouraged today to go to the job that best suits you and is best for you, and don't have that loyalty to your company. Just You need to find a job that's best for you. And if you need to bounce around from job to job to job to job, just go for it. And eventually it'll all work out in the end because you're doing what's best for you. Because it's all about me. But Hannah found fulfillment in honoring her vow. She prayed initially for a child, which is it's a desire to have, but it's very, very personal, and I wouldn't say selfish, but it is all about her. And there was, there was fulfillment in the fact that she had a child, but the fulfillment truly came when she fulfilled and honored her vow by giving her son to God. And we will find that in life if we will, give the things that God has given to us back to Him. We will find fulfillment in our lives, fulfillment in our ministries, fulfillment in our callings when we will give them back to God. Ministering before the Lord, and I'm going to have to go through this section quickly here. Ministering before the Lord, 1 Samuel 2:11, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Samuel grew before the Lord, or as the New International Version translated, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Grew up in the presence of the Lord. So thankful for the kids that have had the opportunity to grow up in church, grow up in the presence of the Lord. As a small boy, Samuel learned to serve. Ministry to the Lord is sometimes performed in what seems like menial tasks and repetitious details. Anybody love menial tasks and repetitious details? I could not work in a plant. I could not work in an assembly line. It would drive me absolutely crazy. Same thing, same thing. Same thing. Is it quitting time? Same thing. So, that's right. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I give praise and glory to God for that today. Amen. Every day, candles had to be lit and extinguished. Every day, ashes were removed from the altar, and every day there were cleaning chores to complete, and water pots to fill, and meals to prepare. Samuel learned that service involves much more than spiritual exercises and worship events. Should I repeat that one more time? Whew. Samuel learned that service involves much more than spiritual exercises and worship events. Service unto the Lord is more than Sunday and Thursday. Sometimes it's lighting a candle and making sure that candle gets blown out at the end of the day. Sometimes it's boring tasks that we just got to repeat over and over. Sometimes it's getting here just a few minutes early and making sure there's a few little Danishes and some coffee made so that as people come in tired, they have somewhere to get a sugar high and a caffeine high before they come into Sunday school class so that we don't have to look at nodding heads. I love y'all. Praise God. Amen. But sometimes that's it. Service. Service is more than spiritual exercises and worship events. He learned that everyday activities around the tabernacle became a ministry to the Lord. Samuel grew up in this environment of service, but his maturity had to develop to the place where he could make his own commitment to the call of God and dedication to ministry. Young people that grow up in church, young people that grow up in church need to come to the place where they understand that it is now time for me to step into my calling, not my mom and dad's calling, not the things that they know and they've learned and the things that they do. It's time for me to mature, for me to become perfected and to answer the call of God in my life. Amen, Aaron. Amen. Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor, this is important, with both the Lord and also with men. So vital and important that we are in favor with both the Lord and also with men. The favor of God in lives may be witnessed by their relationships with others. Did you hear that? This principle is illustrated in 1 John. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? A right relationship with God will be revealed in the way we connect with others. Jesus taught his followers that their discipleship would be recognized by the love that they have for each other. When others see us working together, creating community, caring for the needs of others, and spending time together, they will know we are genuine Christ followers. And we'll see the favor of God upon us. Having favor with God and man, does that mean that we are going to please every man that is out there? Absolutely not. Having favor with God is number one, top priority. But if we have favor with God, God will give us favor in our community with the people we are around. Favor with our coworkers. Favor with our friends. Favor. What is favor? Anyone? Favor? Influence. Favor. Favor. And you want to talk about influence with God. Look at Moses. Influence with Abraham. Influence with God. Influence. We want influence not just with God. We want influence in our communities. Influence with our friends, our coworkers, those that we come across with on a daily basis. We want them to see that we have God's favor in our life. And that in turn will give us favor with them. Amen. The miracle of the call. The call of God is always miraculous. How is it that God, so vast in knowledge, so great in power, and ever present throughout all creation, would solicit the aid of a human being? Why does God need me? Why does God need you? God desires partnership with his created beings. He gives an opportunity for humans to be laborers together with Christ, with God. How does he communicate his calling? And how does he draw the sensitive soul to follow the compulsion of the Spirit? How does God speak? The calling of God is not identical for every individual. Not everyone hears an audible voice or sees a dramatic sign. The Old Testament prophets sometimes gave an account of their call, especially when it was prominent in their experience. The call of God is miraculous in that it cannot be explained in logical occurrence. It is miraculous in supernatural dimensions. A voice spoke to Samuel in the darkness. A voice spoke. A desert bush burned and Moses heard the voice of God. Explain that one. Angelic messengers participated in the dedication service for Isaiah. Amos, a shepherd, heard the roar of God's word to Israel, and he was compelled to deliver it. There's no manual for God's calling. There is no formula or prescription. But where there is a sincere heart and a dedication to serve, God can speak. God can speak. Where is your heart today? Do you have a sincere heart? Is your life dedicated to serve? God can speak to you. Ears to hear and a heart to receive are all that are necessary to experience the miracle of a call. Samuel heard a voice calling his name. I'm so thankful that God is persistent. He knows that you and I are knuckleheads. He knows. He knows. He made us. He knows. And he is persistent. I'm so thankful that he didn't just say, Samuel. And that was it. That would have been a really short book in the Bible. Well, he missed that one. Next. Right? No. God's persistence. God had a message to deliver and persisted in the call, awaiting someone to recognize the source of the call and hear his message. God rarely makes a single attempt to communicate his word and then give up when there's no response. He will continually seek to speak to his people who are often slow to respond and hard of hearing. What was that, God? I'm sure I heard you say, what? No, one more time. Okay, now I'm going to use a fleece. Now I'm going to ask that you speak to so-and-so and they're going to tell me. Okay, no. No, I need a prophet to speak into my... I need somebody... I'm going to name this person. They're going to call me out of the blue. And then they're going to say what you just said to me just a few minutes ago. Huh? And then I'm going to get a letter in the mail that's going to confirm the reconfirmation of the confirmed word that you sent, that you spoke to me. Right? Whew. Yes. That is being human. Welcome to the human race. But God understands, and he will continually seek to speak to people who are often slow to respond and hard of hearing when it comes to the things of the Spirit. He speaks when there is someone to listen. He speaks when there's someone to listen. Are you that someone today? Are you that someone today? Are you willing to hear the voice of God in your life today? First Samuel 3:1, this chapter opens with an observation. It says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And so you wonder sometimes. I know that when our kids come to us and say, hey, there's a bear at the door. And we go, yeah, whatever. Go back to bed. And then they come back again. Oh, there's a bear at the door. And go back to bed. I'm sure it's nothing. It's just a tree hitting the side of the house, whatever, even though we live in a field. It's probably just a tree. And we do that in our in the natural. And we see this where Samuel is called several times. He gets, here am I. Eli, you called me, right? No. Go back to bed. Right? We see this repetition. And we wonder sometimes why Eli did not recognize the voice of God happening in Samuel's life. Well, Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:1 kind of expresses it. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. How long had it been since Eli had an actual voice of God speaking to him into his life? Eli failed to recognize that God might be trying to talk to Samuel until the third occurrence, and then all of a sudden, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He called the child. And then Samuel's acceptance. Though Samuel did not recognize the voice of God at the beginning, it was not due to lack of willingness to hear. Because if you notice in Scripture, he heard and got up and responded every time. He had a willingness. It was merely the fact that he had never heard the voice before. So he didn't recognize the call of the Spirit. Is it possible to attend church faithfully and to be involved with acts of service, church activities and charity fundraisers, but yet not have a personal knowledge of God? To be involved with service, but have no concept or understanding of the voice of God speaking into your life. Sometimes the lack of response to the call of God is from lack of experience or lack of knowledge. Sometimes I need to go and talk to my pastor. Hey, I've been feeling this. Go lay back down. Go lay back down. Okay, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe God is speaking to you. So sometimes we may hear the voice of God and not understand, not be at the maturity level to fully understand what God is trying to do in our life. But what matters most is our acceptance, our attitude. We need to have an ear to hear, a heart that is receptive to the voice of God. And then God's message was not an easy message for Samuel. God's message to Samuel was a confirmation of the prophecy given to Eli in the previous chapter. God assured Samuel that what had been spoken concerning the sons of Eli would come to pass. Judgment was proclaimed. Samuel. Well, he's probably Samuel at this point, but who knows? Samuel, the one who was serving in the temple, was being called of God to voice to Eli, the one that he respected, looked up to, had served for such a long time. God is speaking to him a very, very, very difficult message for him to speak. But Samuel wasn't just willing to hear, but he was willing to do. Willing to hear, he was willing to do. I think a lot of us are very willing to hear. I'm very open to hearing the voice of God. How open am I to doing what He's asked us to do? That is the question I pose to you today. We all have a heart that's seeking after God and loves God and we want to hear His voice. But when He speaks, and it's difficult, do we still say yes? Do we still say yes? It was a big weight of responsibility on Samuel's young shoulders. Samuel was loyal to Eli. He had looked at him as a father, a spiritual mentor. And now the severity of the message of judgment weighed heavily in his spirit. With knowledge comes responsibility. With responsibility comes authority. And obviously the message was not mere knowledge to keep secret. There was a purpose in its delivery. Samuel stepped into the role of a prophet and delivered all the words he had received, holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. Out of love, sometimes, when God speaks to us, out of love for a person or a situation, we sugarcoat stuff. I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I need to speak the truth in love, but I need to speak all of the truth in love. Praise God. Amen. When God asks us, we need to do all that He asks. Amen. It was a life of service. We talked about that, and I am almost out of time this morning. It was a life of service. As Samuel grew up around the tabernacle, he was not blind to the problems in the priestly family, but he focused on fulfilling the call to serve. How many know that the church is not perfect? Why is the church not perfect? Because you and I are in it. Amen. Right? Praise God. Not a bunch of angels come to church. So Samuel wasn't blind. He knew what was going on. Consider the following. While the sons of Eli occupied an office, they're the ones that judgment was coming down on. The sons of Eli, they occupied the office. Samuel ministered unto the Lord. This is during the same time period. While the sons of Eli rebelled against their father's rebuke, Samuel submitted to Eli's leadership. While the sons of Eli sought to satisfy their own lusts, Samuel sought only to serve. While the sons of Eli were rejected, Samuel was called. Samuel was called. It takes more than an inheritance to fulfill a ministry. There must be a dedication to service. There must be a dedication to service. The foundation for service is dedication. If dedication does not exist, there won't be service in your life. Bottom line. Well, I was going to do that. I was going to go downstairs and put the tables away after the fellowship. I was going to do that. No. Dedication needs to be the foundation. I'm dedicated to doing whatever is asked. I'm dedicated to fulfilling the call of God in my life. I'm dedicated and to service. And that way service will be fulfilled in my life if I have dedication to the call. Dedication to the call. Only God could see how far-reaching effects of one woman's prayer and the impact of her devotion. God, give me a son. She had no idea what was about to happen. Dedication gave birth to sacrifice, and the calling of God came to a young man committed to service. Samuel grew up knowing that he had been dedicated to God before he was born. He was committed to service before he was conceived. He grew up in a certain knowledge that service was a privilege, a calling, and not a bitter sacrifice. Not a bitter sacrifice. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Not a bitter sacrifice. Samuel served faithfully throughout his life. These are just highlights here before we go into prayer. Samuel's life. He was recognized as a prophet. Served as a priest. Judge over Israel. He transitioned the nation from the times of judges to the introduction of kings in Israel. This is Samuel, his life. He anointed Saul, the first king. And when that didn't go so well, he anointed David. Praise God. And fired Saul. Praise God. A life of service unto God. Samuel never faltered in his calling and remained faithful in service to the Lord all of his life. You don't have to falter today. You don't have to fail today. You can live your entire life following Jesus Christ and have victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've got prayer requests that we're going to go to right now. I am out of time. We need to pray. We've got several that are recovering. We've got Sister Esther, Sister Holly, Sister Mary Ann, that we need to pray for them in recovery, for speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Those that are sick this morning, I'm sure there are more than just the three. We've got Becca, Jordan, and the Wades. We need to pray for them today, as well as Brother Steve Adams. We need to continue to keep him in our prayers today. And I'm sure that there are many others today that need prayer and unspoken requests this morning. Praise God. Let's pray for all of these needs together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we love you, Lord, today. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. God, we worship you today. God, we're so thankful for all that you have done, all that you have accomplished in our lives this far. I pray, Lord Jesus, for these needs today. God, we bring those that are recovering, Lord, from surgeries. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them today. Strengthen them today. God, heal their bodies today. In Jesus' name, take the pain, take the discomfort. I pray, Lord Jesus, for a speedy recovery. God, that you would get glory in this. I pray that where they're at today, they would feel your presence. In Jesus' name, feel your strength and feel your peace in Jesus' name. God, those that are sick amongst us today, God, we pray for Sister Becca, God, today. In Jesus' name, for Jordan, for the waves today, God, I pray that you would reach into that situation once again, do a miracle in their lives, God. In Jesus' name, by your stripes, we are healed. We stand on that promise of your word today. In Jesus' name, God, heal them today. In Jesus' name, raise them up today. God, we continue to pray for Brother Steve Adams. God, I pray that you would minister in his life. God, strengthen him, I pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I pray for our service at 11 o'clock, our worship service today. God, we come rejoicing into your house today. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would minister to everyone that is here today. God, help us to hear from your word. Help us to be ministered to today. Strengthen your people, God. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name, God, anoint Brother Glover as he preaches your word today. In Jesus' name, God, let us be receptive to your word today. Help us to grow, God. Help us to evangelize this area. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you all the glory and all the praise today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen. You've got about 10 minutes. Fellowship with somebody. Shake.